Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We are going to continue on today, and let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Children speaks there of immaturity. You know, you don't give a child the keys to your car. You know, you don't give the child your checkbook. You can only entrust a child with so much. But God wants to entrust us with more. Now look, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in cunning craftiness and deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the what? For the edifying of itself in love. We're going to get back to the scripture, but I want to lay a little groundwork. I remember a story of this guy. He was a hunter, and he lived in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. Anybody ever heard of Harrodsburg, Kentucky? Harrodsburg. There is such a place. Well, he was a hunter, and he had hunting dogs. And so he trained these dogs. So he got this new invisible collar system where they wear a collar, and you carry this little gadget, and in order to get them to come back to you, you zap them, and they'll stop doing what they do, and they'll come back. Well, it's kind of like that electric fence. Have you seen that? In my neighborhood, I run, and I told the people last Sunday night, there's a chihuahua there and down the street from me, and when I'm running sometimes, he'll come out like he's going to eat me up. But if I act like I'm going to him, he'll run in the back of the house. But that visible fence is in the front, and he can only go so far. And he'll run out there, and, you know, and then I'll act like I'm coming after him, and he hightails it, you know. But he's big stuff when, you know, nobody's messing with him. But the idea is, this guy had this this collar, and he tells his wife, he says, you know, I want to test this and see how far we can, the range on this. And so he puts this collar around his neck. He says, I want to test this collar so we can see how far this collar can work here on this there thing. So he gets in the car, and they go down about a quarter of a mile, and the guy honks the horn. He said to her, he goes, when I honk the horn, I want you to zap it as I go down the road because I want to see how far I can get down where I don't lose, you see? So he's driving down the road, and he honks the horn, and she zaps it. It zapped him, but it really zapped him. And so he almost lost control, and then another car was coming, and he put over in his lane, and the other car honked his horn, and then she zapped him again. Well, then it happened again, and the employer is trying to. And then another car came, and the other car honked the horn and zapped him again. Well, ended up he had all these burns on his neck, and he had to go to the hospital and be treated for all these burns on his neck. Here's my point. Sometimes we try to wear things that don't fit. Sometimes we try to do things in life that we weren't fit for. Am I making sense? Sometimes, you know what? You were created to fulfill the will of God and do His will. And you have gifts and talents that will bring fulfillment in your life. But when you try to make something fit that doesn't fit, it's going to be a pain in the neck. Am I making sense? Has anybody been there? You're doing something you hate and you just like, man, it's like a pain. It can be very painful. I'm just frustrated all the time. That's because you're trying to fit something on your life that you weren't created for. So, I just wanted to share that. Frederick Buechner said this, our calling, when we are in our calling, that is our deepest gladness. When we are fulfilling our calling, that's our deepest gladness. And when your deepest gladness, when you are in that and you go into the world and you meet with that deepest gladness, you cross the world and you meet the deepest needs in the world. And that is fulfilling. Nothing compares to that. And every one of us can experience that because we all have been given gifts and talents. God has chose the church, the local church, to be the intermediator between heaven and earth, the local church. This is where we discover our gifts and our talents, is in the local church. And this is where all this manifests, all this unfolds, is in the local church. You can't discover it out there on your own or going from this place and this place and this place. You got to get planted. That's why it says in Psalms 93, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. When you're planted there, you're going to go through things. It's going to feel like all hell is breaking loose sometimes, because when God is building His kingdom inside of you, everything physically around you sometimes feels like it's falling apart. Anybody been there? When God is really doing something in you, it looks like everything around you is falling apart and feels that way at times. But really, it's all worth it all because He's building you. And what He's concerned about you and what you're doing with your family, your children, and the people that you work with, the people in the church, He's concerned with you and your calling and what He's created you for. Now, I want to show you something here. This is just a little diagram. Can you all see that? This is the church in the middle, okay? This is the church. We come to church. We gather. We are the church, right? I did a message a long time ago, stop going to church and start being the church. So we're the church. So we come and gather together, and this is where you're equipped, right? That's what the scripture said. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for what? The equipping of the saints for the what? The work of the ministry. So we come and we gather here and we're equipped for what? The work of the ministry. Okay? Now, when we're equipped, now what happens is the kingdom is now starting to rule inside of us. The kingdom is now starting to rule inside of you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. Within you. It's in you. Okay? When that's kingdom simply means where the king rules. The rule of God. Wherever you see the word kingdom in the New Testament, it means the rule of God. What happens is now kingdom is ruling in us. We go out on our jobs. See, some of you, you go on your jobs and you're an engineer. You go and you mingle with people and you're affecting the people that you're around because you got the kingdom in you. And you have gifts and talents to actually meet needs there. That's like somebody in this church, maybe a mechanic, okay? They go back on their job and a single mother comes in. And she can't fix her car. She's got five kids. And you know, her car is going to cost a lot to get fixed, but he can fix it like that because he's a mechanic. He fixes that thing. He says, no charge. You see how that blesses that single mother? She can keep providing for her family, keep moving and taking care because he used his gift and talent. You see that? And so that works that way in a lot of that works in all of our lives. We'll meet needs, deep needs, because we are gifted and we have talents, all of us. Here's the idea. The idea is not to build a great church. You see, we're going to the Christian Academy down the road, and we're going to start meeting there on Sunday morning. Just have one service at 10:30 a.m. That's to make more room for more growth. Kingdom. The idea is not to build a big church and to build a great church. The idea is to advance the kingdom. The more people we get the kingdom ruling in, and the more gifts and talents, and everyone doing his part. You see, when everyone's doing their part, now we become more effective and a redemptive force in the community for the kingdom of God. You see that? And that's the idea. That's why we're moving into the Christian, so that we can make more room and more gifts and talents will be discovered, and we're going to keep advancing the kingdom. That's the idea behind it. So the goal is to advance the kingdom, not to build a great church. And so Jesus said, seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know what? I keep thinking, Lord, are you sure you want us to do this? You know, these are economic times. These are some tough times. This is the toughest economical time some of us have seen in our entire life. These are tougher economical times than some people have ever heard of right now. But you know what? When the kingdom is ruling, economic takes place, the economy's good in the kingdom. The economy is always, always abundant in the kingdom. You see that? Education takes place in the kingdom. Relationships work and are healthy in the kingdom. You see what I'm saying? Come on. And right in the middle of all this chaos, confusion, if the kingdom's advancing, you are going forward. You're becoming what you were created to be. And you're fulfilling the plan and purpose of God. And the kingdom is working in your life. All these things will be added unto. Everything you need is right in the kingdom. And you know what? It's right in the body of Christ. It's in the body of Christ. Every joint supplies. You got what I need and I got what you need. You'll get jobs in the body. Yeah, you got everything you need is right in the body. God has designed it that way. That's why it's so important that you stay in the body. Because when you get outside the body and do your own thing, how many people have you known that have done that and their lives are miserable? And they just got miserable. It's worse than it ever was before they came to Christ. Because God isn't going to let you. God is not going to allow you to be content and happy away from him, because he knows your true fulfillment is in the body of Christ. And your true gifting and talents will be fulfilled and displayed in the body of Christ. When you try to do it on your own, that creates misery. And he's not going to allow that, because he loves you too much. He's not going to let you get too far down the road. He'll get your attention one way or another. Some of you are acting look like I'm looking too serious. But look, spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, in verse 7, it says, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 8, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? What's that saying? It's saying Jesus went to hell and took the authority from the devil and everything he had and took it from him. This is a picture of a king who has conquered an army and taking the spoils from that army, because that's what they used to do. When they would conquer, they would take the spoils, and then they would pass out the spoils to everyone who was under the king's authority. And that's what Jesus has done. He gave gifts to men. He gave us gifts so that we could keep the kingdom advancing on the earth. That's the idea. He's passed them out to you and I to do His will for His kingdom. You see? Because this thing is going somewhere. You know, we're not going to be on this planet forever, right? So the idea is we want to serve in His kingdom. And when we're serving in His kingdom, we're advancing His kingdom. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. We're going to look at some of these gifts, okay? Apostle, what's an apostle? Apostle is, it would be an entrepreneur, a spiritual entrepreneur, or a starter, or a catalyzer. An apostle is one who starts things. They start churches in this realm and this idea. They start churches. And then they would go and start another one somewhere. And they continue to go. That's an apostle. Now, prophet. A prophet is not just one who predicts the future, but a prophet is one who foretells what's going on now and speaks for now. You see that? I'm prophesying right now. I'm prophesying God's word to you this morning. I'm a prophet. I'm not tooting my own horn, but when you're prophesying God's word and you're speaking His word, you are in the position of a prophet. Let everyone prophesy, the Bible says. Prophets are reformers. They redirect the church towards repentance, justice, and mercy. They speak in ways that keeps the church moving in justice, in mercy, in grace, and repentance. An evangelist is really, in one word, you could describe an evangelist as a recruiter. You ever get around a college recruiter? Or somebody who works for a college and somebody in the army, they're trying to recruit you into the army. They're telling you they got the answer for you, right? And if you join this, all this is going to happen. Well, that's what an evangelist is. He's going to make it plain that if you'll connect here, these things are going to happen in your life. And that's what an evangelist does. Pastor. A pastor is a mentor. And also, a pastor leads and feeds the flock. It talks about in Ezekiel 34, the shepherds, and he's speaking of pastors. And it's talking about the shepherds were not feeding the flock. And what was happening is the sheep were becoming scattered. And then it says they became food for the beast of the field. The beast of the field is a shadow and a type of the enemy today. So what that's saying is you get outside the body and out from under a pastor that's truly trying to lead you and feed you in God's ways, you become food for the beast of the field. Does that make sense? That's really what happens. And I tell you what, if you really have ever seen it, I've seen it. That's really what happens. I mean, it's worse than when you ever became a Christian. Teachers. Teachers are not just, they don't just give you information. But they're models, and they're literally people you can follow their life. They teach and they communicate, and they can teach God's word in a way that really brings understanding. Now, that's a gift. Now, look at this. There's gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and 1 Peter 4. We're going to talk about some of those gifts. Leadership. What's leadership? Leadership is strategizer. Some of you are strategizers. You're always strategizing something. That's a form of leadership. Administrative. Some of you have the ability to organize things. You just have this ability and this desire to get things organized. I'm not like that, but I need that, right? We need that in the body, right? So that's how it is. When you have a gift, you enjoy doing it. You you may have several of these gifts, and you do well, and it brings fulfillment. Now look at this. Faith is a person who's full of adventure. They see things that other people's not seeing. This is one of my number one gifts is faith. I know I see things sometimes that y'all don't see sometimes. When someone sees things, they're trying to get them to go in the adventure. Giving. A person who has the gift of giving, they're an entrepreneur, and they have the ability to make money. And those people are really to assist and help fund the kingdom. Really? Some people have the ability to make money. Everybody doesn't have. That's a gift. And so when they're operating their gift, it brings fulfillment. But some people have that and they haven't operated in that. And so there's no fulfillment yet. Hospitality. We got to be hospitable. And this is a gift. And somebody has that gift, you just feel good around somebody who has hospitality, right? And that's just how it is. When you go to their house, they make you feel like, man, this is home, man. You put your feet up, take your shoes off, right? And that's kind of the way, you know, we should make people feel when they come. Hospitality is part of all of our position here. We want to create a culture of hospitality. People make a decision if they're going to come back to a church in the first 7 minutes. And it starts in the parking lot. In the parking lot, till they come into the sanctuary. How they were treated, what the building looks like. You see this? These little things, we got to understand. This is hospitality. We know what? We got to get people's names so they hear that. You know what? That's important. I'm always trying to remember people's names. And you know, I mess up a lot. But I'm trying. You know, we all got to be trying, right? That's important. When people hear their names, it's like they feel a part. Encouragement is a gift. You ever been in a hospital and somebody visits you and you're glad they came, but you're glad they left too? Because they really didn't have aid in making you feel better or nothing, you know? But when somebody has a gift of encouragement, man, you just feel like God was in the room. There's something else was here. You're just edified inside. Regardless of what condition you're in, there's something has built you up. You see that? People that have those gifts really can do that. Mercy, the gift of mercy, always not giving you something you do deserve. People have the gift of mercy. They're just folks you get along with. They get along with everybody because they have mercy. Helps. People who have the gift of helps. They just want to help. They want to do things, and they'll never come up here because they don't want anybody to know. Okay. Intercession. People have the gift of intercessory prayer. That's a gift to pray for people for hours, a couple hours, to be praying for a couple hours. That's a gift. Counselors. People who really get wisdom from God. That's a gift. Healing. There's people who have the gift of healing. You know, it's not so much that people get healed every time they lay hands on them, but you can speak life and give them direction that will bring healing to their life. Or the really healing can take place. That's a reality. That's a gift. Tongues. Tongues is a gift to speak in tongues. I speak in tongues. And you know what? That gift is really for everybody if you want to pursue that. And then there's the interpretation of tongues. Then you understand when these tongues are spoken, you can bring a word. That's a gift. All right, now, we exist for the kingdom, not the world. We exist for the kingdom and to go into the world. You know, I have a conviction to always be about bringing people into the kingdom. Because I know one day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to have to give an account for what I've done with my talents and my gifts. All of us are going to do that. He's going to say, what did you do with what I've given you? In Matthew 25, it talks about the ones who had the talents. He gave 5 to 1, he doubled them. He gave 2 to 1, he doubled them. He gave 1 to the 1 and he hid it and says he was afraid. He was full of fear. And so he didn't use his gift. What did he say? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, into everlasting darkness. You know what? That puts the fear of God in me. I want to use my gifts and talents to advance God's kingdom. And you know, teenage suicide is probably worse than it's ever been. Divorce is worse than it's ever been. Families are struggling. People are struggling. People are lost. This is the way it is everywhere. And we understand the kingdom, and we're not doing anything about it. If we can just sit on the sidelines, I'm not going to bank on that. I'm not going to just sit back and do nothing and expect things to be well when I go to meeting. I have to live out of my convictions and my encounters with God. You know, that's what we're doing when we're advancing the kingdom. Now, I want you to show that first picture. You all remember the miners in Chile? And there was like 33 of them. Now here, they're underground about a half mile. And they don't have a clue if they're going to get out or not. None of them. See, none of them smiling. They don't know if they're getting out of there or not. They're in total darkness. People are walking around everywhere in that state right there. They don't know if they're going to get out of their problems. They don't know if anything ever good is going to happen. They just don't know. And we have the answer. How can we sit on the sidelines and let people walk around in darkness? See, darkness really represents ignorance. And we're coming here getting equipped, right? And we're getting some light. That's why we need to be about what He's called us to do. Now, show me the next one. Now look, NASA, engineers, the medical professionals, mechanics, all kinds and all walks of people got together and strategized on how to get these people out of the ground. And they got every one of them out of there safely. Isn't that amazing? That's the church. We are the church. We are the rescue team. You hear me? That's us. We're strategizing how to help bring others into the kingdom, into the light. Get them out from us so they don't go down. Amen. And into total darkness. That's the church. Jesus said, I will build my rescue team, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's what we are. We're the rescue team. The church. Now show that next one. Now, they're all out of there. Isn't that amazing? All of them came out of there. Not one of them died. You know what? Because people with gifts and talents got together and strategized and worked and got along together and came up with a way how to get these people a half mile under the earth out safely. You know what? That's what we are. And that's what we're doing by moving down to the Christian. That's all part of the strategy. It's not just to build a great church and a big church for lots of people to be. There's true spiritual truths behind it. Everyone doing his part. Everyone doing his share. So we will be the redemptive force that God has created us to be. It talks about in Psalms, it says, deliver the poor and the needy, free them from the hand of the wicked one. They do not know, nor do they understand that they walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. In Proverbs 24:11, it says, deliver those who are being drawn towards death. Hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who keeps your soul understand? He knows that you know this. Will he not render to each man according to his deeds? To what you've done to get these folks out of darkness.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. We extend to you a warm Christmas greeting and invite you to our Christmas Eve candlelight celebration, Friday, December 24th, 5:30 p.m. at Christian Academy School. Currently, our worship times are Saturday evenings at 7 p.m., Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m. Beginning Sunday, December 26th, our Sunday morning service will relocate to Christian Academy School and combine into one 10:30 a.m. service. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.